Today, one of those days, we're just want to be at the beach. Well, the funny thing is you can actually do very good math on the beach. One of the most famous mathematicians of the 20th century, who actually is professor emeritus here at Berkeley, who's won every possible math prize and award, and he's still very, very active, a very active research mathematician, Professor Steve Smale, he, according to his own account, did his best research on the beaches of Copacabana in Rio. It was so suspicious to the National Science Foundation, which was funding him, that they wanted to take away his grant. You know, look, he's not even doing research in the United States, and he's on a beach and, you know, doing mathematics. How can that be? But it wasn't. Actually, he won a big, big prize, a Fields Medal, for precisely the research he did on the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Unfortunately, we are stuck in 155 Duinel, but only for 50 minutes. And today I want to finish talking about that recipe, as I called it, for finding solutions, for solving second-order equations, non-homogeneous equations. So as you already probably know, the method, even though it may not have seemed that there was much of a method, was called the method of undetermined coefficients. And let me just summarize this method. Last time we only went through a bunch of examples from which you were supposed to get a feel for how this method works. First of all, the method only works for non-homogeneous equations. So we are going to consider these types of equations. So second order linear homogeneous equations with constant coefficients, a y double prime plus b y prime plus c y equals, let's say, f of x. It only works when f of x is of a particular form, but the good thing is it always works. It always gives you a solution. Okay, so the method works when f of x equals a function of this form. You have some polynomial p of x times e to the power alpha x times cosine beta x, or a polynomial of x times e to the alpha x times sine beta x, okay? Or a linear combination of these types of functions. So its applicability is restricted, but a good thing is it always gives you a solution. And then later we'll discuss a method that works for all possible right-hand sides, but it may not always give you a solution in closed form. Now, look at these functions. So P of x is a polynomial. So here P of x is a polynomial. You see that, you easily see that these types of functions are precisely the functions that solve equations like this when they are homogeneous. When f of x is 0, these are the types of, well, maybe without the p of x, these are the types of functions that are solutions to these types of homogeneous equations. Why? Because we remember when, for example, when you have distinct roots, real distinct roots, then there is no cosine or sine, there is just some exponential possibly multiplied by x, right? When there is no, when the roots are complex, then you get solutions with no p of x, which are of this form. These are the fundamental solutions, the solutions that are linearly independent that give you all possible solutions. In other words, the method works when the right-hand side is of the form of a function that solves the corresponding homogeneous equation with the right-hand side zero, okay? So how does it work? Well, first, number one, if f of x is equal to a single function of this form. So p of x equals e to the alpha x. So p of x times e to the alpha x times cosine or sine. This means either or beta x. Try yp. Remember, all we are trying to do is find a particular solution. Try for yp a function of the exact same form. Try q of x times e to the alpha x cosine beta x. But remember, you need to include both the sine part and the cosine part. So plus r of x times e to the alpha x times sine of beta x, where we keep the alpha and the beta, but we don't keep the polynomial. It's not this p of x, we don't keep it. We just try some polynomial q of x and some polynomial r of x of the same degree. So where q of x and r of x are polynomials. Of the same degree as p of x. Okay. So now, in some cases, this will not work. And we saw there was at least one example last time where it didn't work. If this doesn't work, if this fails, and remember, it's going to fail, this candidate for the particular solution will fail only if your candidate satisfies the corresponding homogeneous equation. Right? If you plug it into the homogeneous equation, you get zero. Now, how do you recognize whether your trial satisfies the homogeneous equation? Well, you already, before you look for y sub p, you find the general solution of the homogeneous equation, right? Some y sub h or whatever equals c1y1 plus c2y2. Right? y1 and y2 are those linearly independent solutions. If this guy looks like that, if it contains the same terms, then this is not going to work. And in that case, multiply by x. And in only one case for second order equations, you may need to multiply or x squared. I'll show you that example. So you may need to multiply it by x. If that doesn't work, multiply by x again, or by x squared. Okay? An example to see when you may need to multiply by x squared is this. Let's take y double prime minus 2y prime plus y equals e to the x. Okay? Let's look at this equation. The auxiliary equation, or the characteristic equation, is r squared minus 2r plus 1 equals 0. The roots of this equation are r. You can easily see that this is just r minus 1 squared equals 0. So the roots are, there's only one root. Right? There's a single real root that repeats. It's a multiplicity, two roots, so to say. So in this case, remember that to solve the homogeneous equation, the equation where the right-hand side is 0, is you have to do this. You write e to the x. That's your first fundamental solution, the first solution that figures in the general solution, and you multiply that by a constant. But then you need another solution to get the general solution, and for that, to get this other solution, you have to multiply that by x, the first one by x, and a constant. So this is the general solution to the so-called complementary equation, which is y double prime minus 2y prime plus y equals 0. Right? Okay, now stare at this solution for a second. You see that the functions that are in it are e to the x and x times e to the x. Now, to find y sub p, remember, to get the general solution to this given equation, the non-homogeneous equation, all you have to do now is find one particular solution of that equation and add that to this guy. That will give you the general solution to the non-homogeneous. So finding y sub p, well, if you follow this recipe, we try y sub p equals, let's see, the right-hand side in this case, there is no sine or cosine, right? Since there is no sine and cosine, that means that just beta, this beta is zero. There's no polynomial there. It's just, well, actually, there is a polynomial multiplying e to the x. That polynomial is just 1. It's a degree 0 polynomial, i.e. a constant. So what we try is some constant a times e to the x. But does this have any chance of working as a particular solution to the non-homogeneous equation? Clearly not. You don't have to waste your time by plugging it into the non-homogeneous equation. Why? Because e to the x is one of these guys. And these guys satisfy the complementary homogeneous equation. So this is not going to work. Okay, so we follow the recipe. It says, if it doesn't work, multiply by x. Is that going to work? For the same reason, it's not going to work because this already satisfies the homogeneous equation. So repeat the recipe, or iterate the recipe. It says multiply by x again. And now this is guaranteed to work. Okay, x squared times e to the x is not a solution to the corresponding homogeneous equation. And this works. So you can find an a that makes this a solution to the non-homogeneous equation. But I'm not going to go through the calculation. I don't know if I have the answer what a is. It's not hard to find it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is, you know, once you know how to set things up, the rest is just pretty simple algebra. Okay, so this is essentially the only case where you may have to multiply by x 2 times, in other words, by x squared in this recipe. Okay, so this is kind of the first part of the recipe that works if the right-hand side is just one function. Any questions about that? Okay, so this deals with a case where the right-hand side is one function. If the right-hand side of the equation f of x is f1 of x plus dot, 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 fn of x, and each one of these functions, f1 through fn, is of the same form, namely a polynomial times e to something times cosine or sine of something, then find a particular solution. Let's call it y sub pj to the equation a y double prime plus b y prime plus c y. Okay, and now on the right-hand side, just include the jth one of these functions, fj of x. In other words, break the right-hand side up into n little pieces. Okay, solve, find the particular solution for each piece, f sub j, and then take yp to be yp1 plus all the way to ypn. Okay, this was called the principle of superposition. Okay, so this takes care of every possible case where the right-hand side of your non-homogeneous equation is a linear combination of functions of this form. Okay, and so to conclude, let's just write... let me remind you what you get this way. You get the general solution to this non-homogeneous equation. So the general solution to the non-homogeneous equation AY double prime plus BY prime plus CY equals F of X is now Y general equals, well, first thing you write is the general solution of the complementary equation, the homogeneous equation, let's call it Y sub H, plus you add your particular solution that you found using the method of undetermined coefficients. So again, here, this is the general solution of the equation AY double prime equals BY prime plus CY equals 0. And that's it. Okay? So if you're able to understand this method, this recipe, then finding the reason it's called the method of undetermined coefficients is because, you know, when you make your guess, in this guess you have a bunch of coefficients. Coefficients are part, you know, they're the coefficients of these polynomials. You have to find these coefficients. Finding those coefficients is done just by plugging this y sub p into the non-homogeneous equation, setting, you know, equating the two sides, and just extracting the coefficients, and that's all. Like we did it last time. So I think it's useless for me to do, unless you really want me to do another example, but for me to do all the calculations on this board and you're just watching, I think it's not going to be very useful for you. So I think you should do it, you should sit down and do it yourself. Instead, I would like to, after I ask the questions about this, to move on to a slightly more, you know, subtle method called the method of variational parameters. So are there any questions about this method of undetermined coefficients? The nice thing is it actually works for high-order equations. So when you take, if you take Math 54, you'll see that this generalizes to third, fourth, fifth-order linear equations with constant coefficients, where the right-hand side is exactly of the same form. So you've learned a lot, you know, something that's going to help you later. And I should also say the reason we have a separate method when the right-hand side is of this form is because these types of functions correspond physically to a certain type of forcing of our physical system. So we will talk about the mass spring system or the pendulum. Let's say you're periodically pushing the pendulum. You know, the pendulum goes like this, and each time it swings this way, you push it. Well, that corresponds to a force that looks sort of like this. You know, if there's no e to the alpha x, that means that each time you push it with the same strength, the same, you know, same power. If there's no, let's just say you have cosine of x, it means that you do this periodic forcing, periodic pushing. That's why these types of functions are useful to look at separately and solve these equations with that type of right-hand side. Okay, so if there are no questions, let me now tell you how to deal with non-homogeneous equations when the right-hand side is not of this form. So not of this type of, not this type of function. So question, what if f of x is not of this particular type? So what if it's of the form like tangent of x, or ln of x, or 1 over 1 plus e to the x, or something like that? And the answer is then given by something called the method of variation of parameters, or sometimes called variation of constants. And here's how that goes. Okay, so now we're looking again at the same type of equation. AY double prime plus BY prime plus CY equals f of x, but f of x is now some weird function. Okay, so we first solve the homogeneous equation. So solve the equation AY double prime plus BY prime plus CY equals 0. We can always do this. We know how to do this in every case for every B, A, B, and C. And what you get is a linear combination of two of those fundamental solutions, like e to the x and e to the 2 minus 2x or something, or cosine x and sine of x or something of that form. Okay? So we get y sub h this H stands for homogeneous. This is the general solution to this homogeneous equation. It's C1 Y1 plus C2 Y2. Now, one of those mathematicians, probably Euler or one of the Bernoullis, Bernoulli brothers, they looked at this and they said, how could we modify this, that this function or this family of functions that satisfy this homogeneous equation, how could we play with this to get a solution to the non-homogeneous equation? And they said, of course, this is just, not really probably how they thought, but who knows, maybe, I'm not quite sure how they figured, how they came up with this, but my bet is that they said, okay, so here we have constants, C1 and C2, and when you have constants, and you take this linear combination of Y1 and Y2, you get every solution, every possible solution of this equation, homogeneous equation. Now, in the homogeneous equation, there's a zero on the right-hand side. In the non-homogeneous equation, there's a function on the right-hand side. So maybe, just maybe, we could find the general solution to the non-homogeneous equation by letting these constants be functions. Okay, so try, to find or to solve this equation. I should give my equations names or numbers. To solve star. Try something like this. Y equals. Now, instead of taking constant C1 and C2, replace them by functions. So let me write it like this. Y of x equals U1 of x. Y1 of x plus U2 of x times Y2 of x. Where U1 of x and U2 of x are now functions, unknown functions. And then solve for these functions. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if these functions can actually exist. Now, let's see what happens. If this is to be a solution to the non-homogeneous equation, when you plug this function y of x into that equation, it needs to satisfy it. So let's see what that means. So we need to differentiate this y of x once and then one more time. So what's y prime? Let me skip this of x to make it a little shorter. So y prime, I'm now differentiating this u1 y1 plus u2 y2. Well, we need to use the product rule, okay, for each term. So we get u1 prime y1 plus u1 y1 prime. This comes from the first term, plus u2 prime y2 plus u2 y2 prime. Let me now rearrange the term slightly. Let me combine this term with this term. So we get u1 prime y1 plus u2 prime y2. So I'm just combining these two. And then plus u1 y1 prime plus u2 y2 prime. So this is the first derivative of this function. It's already kind of complicated. There are four terms. But now let's remember that we are trying to solve for two functions. So we have two unknowns. In order to hope for some sort of unique solution, if you have two unknowns, how many equations do you have to have? Well, two equations for two unknowns, right? It should be the same number of equations as unknowns. And the only equation we're going to get is the equation that comes from plugging this function into our differential equation. In other words, we're only going to be getting one equation for two unknowns. So since we have a sort of freedom in choosing u1 and u2, we are free to impose another condition on these functions. And that condition can be anything we want. Well, something that's reasonable and something that's going to make our life easier. And it would make our life easier when we differentiate this one more time if we chose this term to be zero. Okay, so we impose an extra condition could this be zero? U1 prime y1 plus u2 prime y2 is equal to zero. Again, the reason we can do this is because we have two unknowns and just one equation. This gives us another equation. Let's call this equation number one. Okay, so that means that when we calculate the second derivative of this function, we can just drop this term because it's supposed to be zero. So we only have to differentiate this part. Okay, let's differentiate one more time. Let's see. So y double prime is now the derivative of u1 y1 prime plus u2 y2 prime. So we need to differentiate only that. Again, we use the product rule. So we get u1 prime y1 prime. I'm first going to apply the product rule to this term, plus u1 y1 double prime, and then plus u2 prime y2 prime plus u2 y2 double prime. Okay. We have the first derivative of this y, and we have the second derivative, so we are now ready to plug them into the equation. So we have, so I'm going to plug them into this equation here. So we need a y double prime plus b y prime plus c y. Let's see what that's going to be. Well, here is y double prime. Okay. Let's multiply this by a. So we have a u1 prime y1 prime plus a u1 y1 double prime plus a times this part. Oops. A times u2 prime y2 prime plus a times u2 y2 double prime. Okay? Now, unfortunately, I have to go all the way to the other board now, but I think I'm going to just keep doing it here. Okay, so plus. Now, b times y prime. Now, what's y prime? Okay, fortunately, here's y prime. So let's multiply this by b. So we have b u1 y1 prime plus b u2 y2 prime. And plus c times y. Y was this, you know, combination u1, y1, plus c times u2, y2. Okay, now let's see if we can regroup the terms in a convenient way. Well, why don't we look at the second derivative? So we have y1 and we have y2. We have their second, first, and zero derivative. Okay, let's group. Let's group them like this. We have a y1 double prime plus b a u1 y1 double prime. Let me take this one, and this one. Each one of those terms contains u1. So we can factor out that u1, and we get a y1 double prime from there plus b y1 prime from here, plus c, y1. So we've taken these three terms out. Now, let's do the same thing for y2. So we take this term. No, sorry. We take this term, and this term. That gives us, notice that now u2 figures in all of these terms, so we can factor it out. U2 times a y2 double prime plus b y2 prime plus c y2. Okay, so how many terms are left? This one and this one. Plus, let me factor a out because a is in both of them. So a times u1 prime y1 prime plus u2 prime y2 prime. Okay, so this is, I'm sorry about this. What's going on? Oh. I think maybe this. No. So this is the left-hand side of the equation after we've plugged in this function here in it. The right-hand side is supposed to be f of x. So these are supposed to be the same. Now let's see if this thing simplifies. Well, remember what y1 and y2 are. Y1 and y2, how did we choose them? How were they chosen? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that should not be a prime. Thank you. Yes. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Yeah. Sorry. Any more questions about this? It's a little, not messy, but you have to keep track of all these different terms since there are eight of them. Now, what is y1 and what is y2? Well, y1 and y2 are solutions to this homogeneous equation. That's how they were chosen. It's gone somewhere. This is somewhere on these boards. In other words, y1 and y2 are two fundamental solutions to the homogeneous equation, so they satisfy that equation. That means that this is zero and this is zero. So this whole thing vastly simplifies, and only other condition that the functions, the unknown functions u1 and u2 have to satisfy is this condition, that this has to equal this. So we can divide both sides by a, which is a non-zero number, and we get equation 2. Equation 1 is hiding here. So let me summarize this now. Let's see what we got. We got the following system of equations for u1 and u2. Question? Conclusion. The function y equals u1, y1, plus u2, y2, is a solution to the non-homogeneous equation, let me just copy it, star, this one here, if, actually, and only if, u1 and u2 satisfy the following equations. The first equation was u1 prime. Actually, let me write it like this. Y1 u1 prime plus y2 u2 prime equals 0. That was equation number 1, but I flipped the u's and the y's. The reason I flipped them is because we usually write our coefficients first and then the unknowns. Here, y1 is our coefficient. We know y1. We don't know u1. And the second equation is right there, and it says that y1 prime u1 prime plus y2 prime, u2 prime equals, after you divide both sides by a, you get f of x over a. Okay, so these are the equations that we need to solve to get u1 and u2. In fact, what we get is not u1 and u2 directly, we get u1 prime and u2 prime. And after that, to get u1 and u2, we integrate. So, remark number one. This system can always be solved uniquely for u1 and u2. This is not a problem. Solving this system is not a problem. What it can be a problem is that once you've solved for u1 prime and u2 prime, you may not be able to integrate these functions. You may get something that's not integrable in the sense that you don't get a closed form solution. So remark. A, this system of equations always has a unique solution. But the solution is now u1 prime, u2 prime. Why is this true? The answer is given by linear algebra. Or you can just try to solve it, and you can always see that its solution is. Can be found. Now, I can actually write it down explicitly, but I don't want to confuse you. If you're interested in how to solve this by a closed formula, I can tell you later. There's something called Cramer's rule. And the reason this is true is precisely because y1 and y2 are linearly independent functions. y2 is not a scalar multiple of y1. It's not a constant multiple of y1. Okay, so part B, after finding u1 prime and u2 prime, integrate to get u1 and u2. And this is where the danger lies. Sometimes when there's danger in my calculation, I do this. It's a curvy road ahead. And the danger lies in the fact that some functions just cannot be integrated in closed form, like e to the x squared, for example. In that case, you just leave it as it is. Okay, and so now what happens when you find u1 and u2? Well, you just plug them into here, and that's how you get your particular solution. Okay, so let's try to digest this for a second and see if there are any questions, and let's do an example. Any questions? So, in practice, you don't have to do this whole derivation every time. All you have to do is write down these two equations and solve them. And once you've solved them, integrate to find u1 and u2. That's all. And it's always, in every single problem where you use variational parameters, you always can write these two equations with an appropriate y1 and y2. So let's see how it works in an example.
I don't know what's going on today.
Sorry about this. I don't know what's going on. Okay, example. Let's solve, where by solve I mean find the general solution to, let's see, something like this. Y double prime minus 3y prime plus 2y equals 1 over 1 plus e to the minus x. So clearly the right-hand side is not in that nice form. And by the way, one of the common mistakes on exams is for students to try to use the method of undetermined coefficients even when the right-hand side is not of that particular form. So let me just tell you, you cannot use the method of undetermined coefficients here. In other words, you cannot try to find a particular solution which resembles your right-hand side. The idea doesn't work anymore. In other words, all you can do is use variational parameters. Okay, so let's use that method. So we have to solve these two equations, but to solve these two equations, we first have to know what y1 is and what y2 is. And to get y1 and y2, you first write down the characteristic equation. That you need this to solve the homogeneous, the complementary equation. What is the characteristic equation here? The R equation. What would it be? Well, remember, you replace y double prime by r squared, minus 3 times, you replace this by r, and then plus 2. Okay, so this is a nice quadratic equation. The solutions are r1 is, I think, this is r minus 1 times r minus 2, right, equals 0. So the solutions of r1 is 1, r2 is 2. And that gives you y1 and y2. Therefore, for y1, we can just take e to the x. And for y2, we can take e to the 2x. Okay, so every time you have a non-homogeneous equation, this is what you do first. You solve the complementary equation. And now, we finally get to use this new method. So let's set the, let's write y equals, so this is our trial for a solution to the given non-homogeneous equation. Well, it's u1 e to the x plus u2 e to the 2x. This is what we want to be our solution to the given equation. And now let's find u1 and u2. And as I said before, you always just write down the system down, the system of equations. So let's write it down. Equation number one, y1 is e to the x times u1 prime. Y2 is e to the 2x times u2 prime equals 0. That's the first equation. I'm just copying things down and plugging in y1 and y2. The second equation is, now we have to differentiate, you know, u's stay there in the same form, but y1 and y2 have to be differentiated. So e to the x is the derivative of e to the x, u1 prime. You only get a 2 here, 2 times e to the 2x, u2 prime equals f of x over a. Now, what's f of x? F of x is 1 over 1 plus e to the minus x. Okay, a is 1. So the right-hand side is 1 over 1 plus e to the minus x. Okay, now, this is a system of linear equations for u1 prime and u2 prime, but the coefficients are functions. Well, that's okay, because we can just say, well, we'll just pretend that x is not a variable, fix an x, and we can solve this for every x. How would you solve this? How do you solve equations like this? What would be the first step? Any suggestions? Did I hear? Say it again? You can subtract them, yeah. In this case, usually what you want to do is, if you're not using, you can use the substitution method. You can express u1 prime in terms of u2 prime or something like that. But in this case, since these coefficients are the same, you can subtract, let's say, you know, this equation from this equation. So multiply by minus 1 and add. That will give you a solution for u2 prime. And once you have u2 prime, you can go back to the first equation to get u1 prime. Now, I don't want to do that. It's not very hard. I want to talk about integrating these things, see how that would be done. So I claim, and you should check this claim, that u1 prime equals, I don't remember. So, oops, u1 prime is e to the minus 2x divided by 1 plus, no, sorry, that's, no, that's u2. U1 prime is minus 1 over 1 plus e to the x. And u2 prime is just e to the minus 2x over 1 plus e to the minus x. Okay, I claim that's right. Let's see. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we have the derivatives of the unknown functions. How do we find the unknown functions u1 and u2? Well, we know we have to integrate. So what's the integral of minus 1 over 1 plus e to the x dx? And how do we integrate this type of function? So we have to rewind all the way back to chapter, I don't even remember, something we did in January and February, to figure out how to do this. This is where things kind of come together. What do you suggest? Well, it's a substitution, but what substitution? Let's say W or V equals what? Well, things would be simplified the most if we could just take this to be our v. So let's take v, the new function, to be 1 plus e to the x. Okay, so that means that this is going to be 1 over v. What's x? We need x to get dx. Well, x is ln of v minus 1. So dx is v minus 1, sorry, it's gv over v minus 1. Okay? Does that sound good? Okay. Now, again, this is something you should know how to do, and it's a good exercise to try to do this on your own. So I'll let you fill in the blanks and tell you what the answer is. The answer is for u1 of x. It'll be, it's going to be ln of 1 plus e to the minus x plus a constant c1. Okay, it's not hard to do it once you know what substitution works. Now, u2 of x is the integral of u2 prime, which is e to the minus 2x over 1 plus e to the minus x dx. Okay, is that right? Yeah. Now, this integral is of a similar type as the previous one, and I suggest that you'd use the same type of substitution. And if you, you know, if you go back and review the chapter that's you know, on substitution and integration, you'll see that this is exactly the suggestion that they give you. So take w to be the denominator, 1 plus e to the minus x. And then you fill in your blanks, and you get the following function. You get u2 is c2, or let's say ln of 1 plus e to the minus x minus e to the minus x plus a constant c2. Okay. Now, remember, we are just looking for one particular solution to the non-homogeneous equation, so you may as well drop these constants if you want, because we just want one u1 and one u2 to work. But if you want to get the general solution to the whole equation at once, then you can keep the constants. And now let's write down what you get for the general solution. So the conclusion is, I left the erasers here. So the general solution is y general. Well, it's just u1 times y1 plus u2 y2, but you keep the constants in u1 and u2. And what you get is this. U1 is where? It's ln of 1 plus e to the minus x times plus a constant c1. That whole thing multiplied by y1, and y1 is e to the x. And then plus u2. U2 is ln of 1 plus e to the minus x minus e to the minus x times, plus a constant c2. That whole thing multiplied by y2, and y2 is e to the 2x. And that's the solution. Now let's look at the solution for a little bit. The reason we can call this the general solution to this equation is because it does contain, it's of the right form. And the right form means that it contains the general solution to the complementary equation, to the homogeneous equation. That's c1 e to the x plus c2 e to the 2x. And the rest is just the particular solution to the non-homogeneous equation. So this is of the right form, and this is the general solution. And on that note, I'll let you go. And this time, have a good weekend for real. Last time I said have a good weekend thinking it was Friday. So enjoy your weekend. And I think the math department is having an open house, or maybe it's the whole university. So check it out, and I think there may be some food and some games.